More Drive Time Sports on KOAN. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
So now you open my eyes.
Here comes the quarterback, Burrow, looking for a block, and he got it up on the front by Hopkins into the end zone. Touchdown!
I feel like I'm gonna lose my way.
We are 2 days away from Super Bowl 56. Yes, we're going to talk a lot about Super Bowl 56 here on the show today. Do not forget, live coverage of the big game will begin at 12 o'clock on Sunday right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Plenty of programming. You're going to hear from legends, current players, all leading up to the live pregame show with Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner at 4 o'clock, followed by kickoff at 4:30. So Sunday, it's all geared towards Super Bowl 56 here on KOAL. We're going to talk about that game and more right now with a great friend of mine, Steve Bordstein. He joined us before the NFC-AFC Championship games. Steve, it's great to get you back on today. Thank you.
I appreciate the time, and you brought back so many memories talking about the Westwood One coverage of the game, because when I was working at Fox Sports Radio here in Farmington, programming that, you know, putting that into the system and logging all the hours of that pregame show and then the play-by-play and making sure all the commercials are in place, that was a labor of love. I enjoyed just programming that game into the system. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, and I always pre-record the closeout. I've done this for about the last 8 years. I'll let the listeners in on a little secret. For the last 8 years, I have pre-recorded the closeout congratulating a certain team on winning the Super Bowl. And over the last 8 years, I haven't been wrong yet. And during the game, I keep thinking this, oh my gosh, if Tampa Bay doesn't win this game, I have to hightail it to the radio station and replace the outro that I pre-recorded on Saturday for tonight's closeout.
How are you feeling when Atlanta was up 28-3?
Had no worries whatsoever. I can say that with 100% certainty. I play percentages in my head, Steve. When I'm watching football, I play percentages in my head. And when it was 28-3, I said the Patriots legitimately have 5 more possessions in this game. This game's not over yet. That's my mindset when I'm watching football. I like to count possessions, play percentages.
I would have been scared to death with the Falcons went up 28-3. But then I agree with you. Like, once you saw them get that first touchdown, you were like, oh yeah, they're gonna win. Yeah, like this is a foregone conclusion. They're gonna win. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially there's an X factor there that nobody else has as well. 2 X factors: Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Nobody else had that. So no, I wasn't worried about it yet. Fortunately, I haven't missed one yet. I don't know if I'm gonna jinx things this weekend by doing that, but that's a little tidbit on how I close out the Super Bowl. Let's talk about Super Bowl 56. Steve, when we had you on 2 weeks ago, we both were high on the Rams getting to the Super Bowl. I know you thought the Chiefs would be the team that would represent the AFC. I was really iffy on that game. I thought there was something special about this Bengals team. Cincinnati ends up winning. I thought that it was a great choke fest by Kansas City. Now we get the Rams and the Bengals.
And I think one of the storylines for me in that Bengals-Chiefs game is a guy whose name you probably have never heard of even now, and that is Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Aranumo, whose name I have just learned myself in the last, 3 hours. And it's a name that really I thought is the reason. He's the most valuable player, or coach, if you will, on the Bengals, because the job that they did at halftime to completely reverse the trend that Kansas City was on going into halftime. Don't forget that. I don't have a problem with Kansas City going for the touchdown late in the second quarter of that game. I had a problem with the play call in that situation, but I didn't have a problem with them going for the throat at that particular moment. But take a look at what Kansas City's offense was doing in the first half, and then everything they couldn't do in the second half. Part of that was they self-destructed. They did. Patrick Mahomes was running around like a chicken with his head cut off in the second half. He threw 28 passes as opposed to 13 that he threw in the first half, because apparently something must have happened to the running backs. They just cease to exist in the second half when you're nursing an 11-point lead going into halftime. So I don't know what Kansas City was doing in their own minds, but whatever tricks they made, whatever little tweaks they made to their defense in the second half to make Patrick Mahomes look almost infantile in that second half was phenomenal. And the job Cincinnati's defense did in that second half, not just in that game, but even the game before that, when they beat Tennessee, was phenomenal. So give the Cincinnati defense all the credit in the world. And, you know, the idea that this is too big a stage for a guy like Joe Burrow, who 2 years ago was playing in a national championship game, is absurd to me. So I'm excited for this contest.
It's not, the moment isn't too big for Joe Burrow. Anyone that thinks that it may be, I'm telling you, you're wrong. The moment's not going to be too big for Joe Burrow. I will tell you what may be too big for Joe Burrow. Aaron Donald and Von Miller, that might be too big for Joe Burrow behind that offensive line. It's not the moment. If the Bengals come out and they win this game, you applaud the fact that Joe Burrow stood in the pocket, climbed the pocket, got outside of the pocket, had control of what was going on behind his offensive line against the stellar front four from this from the Rams defense. If the Bengals come out and they flop, I don't want to hear that the moment was too big for Joe Burrow, because, Steve, on the other end, this is a very good Ram defense. That's the story that I keep going back to. The reason I continue to lean towards L.A. winning the Super Bowl, that front four is fantastic, and you add Leonard Floyd and Von Miller on the outside, and it could be a long day for Cincy.
That's my worry. That's my worry. When I refer to the Cincinnati victories over Kansas City and Tennessee, neither of those teams had the stellar type of defensive front four or middle seven of the Chiefs or the Bengals. Neither of those teams had that. They didn't have those defenses. The Rams do. The Rams have that defense, and that's going to be the X factor, I think, in this game, is how much effectiveness that front four, in particular Von Miller, and this was why the Rams went out and got him for a song, if you will. That's why the Rams went out and got him, because he's got not only, you know, the experience of being in this situation, but being an MVP in that situation. You know, whereas a guy like Aaron Donald, yeah, he's great. He's phenomenal. He's never been here before. But a guy like Von Miller, he's your veteran leader. He's the guy who's going to tell them all the things that happened during the week of the Super Bowl, all the things to expect, all the things to look forward to, all the things to stay away from. He's going to guide that team into the promised land, I think.
Again, Steve Bortstein, our guest right now as we talk Super Bowl 56. Again, live coverage will begin at 12 o'clock, 12 p.m. here on KOAL. Steve, if you talk about the Los Angeles Rams, there's a feel-good story here as well. I get a kick out of the idea that the Rams have bought a team, right? That has no legs to stand on whatsoever, because Cincinnati was a team that was very active over the last 2 years in free agency, and I think you have to applaud the front office. They built this team through free agency over the last two seasons. What you have with Los Angeles Rams is kind of a different mindset in the way this team has been built, and it's fascinating to me. Les Snead legitimately does not care about draft picks. The Rams have not had a first-round draft pick since Barack Obama was president, and they are playing in their second Super Bowl during that time frame. If that doesn't fascinate you, you just don't care about the business of professional athletics.
Well, it's funny, because at the beginning of this segment, you were talking about the NBA trade deadline being this week, and, you know, teams buy championships.
They do.
There's a news flash for you. I mean, here's your spoiler alert. No team in the last 20 years has won a championship simply by being homegrown. That doesn't exist anymore. It's a business world now. And what do businesses do? They buy and sell. And that's what they do. And that's the business of sports. And if you haven't fathomed that plausible statement before, then you're not paying attention well enough. And I don't have a problem with what the Rams did. I don't have a problem with the fact they haven't had a first round draft pick in years. I don't have that problem, because I've bought into the idea that there is no such thing as a homegrown champion anymore. Teams buy and sell in all sports at all times of the year. The free agent market is always open. If there was a Major League Baseball offseason to talk about right now, we'd be talking about how XYZ team was building themselves a championship right now. That's because that's what sports is. So I don't have a problem with what the Rams are doing. And the feel-good story of Matt Stafford getting his first crack at a Super Bowl, if you're a Detroit Lions fan, and God bless you if you are, if you're a Detroit Lions fan right now, don't you wish your team had been more of a buyer or a seller in the dozen years that you had Matt Stafford as a quarterback and let him languish in obscurity in that cesspool known as Detroit?
Yes, we're learning this year. And look, this I think this goes across the board with the overreaction, the recency bias, being a prisoner of the moment, because the idea was when the Rams acquired Matt Stafford, I don't know if this guy can win the big game. He's got a terrible record against teams over 500. He hasn't won a playoff game. Well, guess what? Historically, the Detroit Lions win very few playoff games, and they too have very poor records against teams with records over 500. And I think sometimes we put too much on an individual player on the football field. Basketball is different. You want to sit here and rate one player on wins and losses in basketball, that's fine. Don't forget that we're talking about 33 players that can impact a football game in a massive way compared to 4 or 5 in a basketball game. It's not the same concept. So for you to bring that up about Matt Stafford, I think you're spot on.
And you brought up a great stat when we talked about the AFC and NFC championship games 2 weeks ago. And it's worth repeating again here in previewing Sunday's game. The two greatest single seasons ever achieved by wide receivers have one common denominator, and that's Matt Stafford.
Yep.
Calvin Johnson and Cooper Kupp.
Yep. Yep, and I think that stat...
That's your ballgame, right there.
Exactly. That stat stands on its own. And I'm not saying that Matthew Stafford is the greatest quarterback to ever live, and I know you're not saying that either, but what you're saying is, when you take a look at what he has been able to accomplish, this guy has been ready for this moment for a while, Steve. It's a great story, not because he's an underdog. It's a great story because he's someone that finally is getting a chance to succeed. I think a lot of times in professional football, players are put in situations where they simply cannot succeed.
And there's a little bit of that, and I can speak on this, and being that we live in that area, that region of the country, how much of his story is very similar to the pre-Mike Shanahan years of John Elway as Broncos quarterback, because he had great players around him. He had Steve Watson. He had the Three Amigos. He had great receivers. He had no running game. He had very little defense on those teams. And then what happens? Here comes Mike Shanahan. The one little tweak to everything that suddenly changed the reversal, the fortunes of John Elway's entire career. All it took was one little tweak, and that was the difference there. Here it is, the difference with Matt Stafford. All he needed was a place to go that understood what he was going to do, what he was capable of doing, and gave him the resources to take it to the next level. And that's the similarity, I think, between Stafford and Elway. And it's not, again, I'm not comparing Matt Stafford to John Elway. They don't have the similar stats, they don't have the similar bios, but they have a similar story. They needed a little tweak to just make them get that one place better. Because Denver was always that team, right? They always were good enough, but they weren't quite great enough. They weren't quite the best until they get to the Super Bowl. And what would happen? They'd inevitably get their doors blown off by somebody. And that was always the way it was going to be with John Elway. And that's where it was with Matt Stafford. He wasn't good enough. He didn't have the players to run. And he goes to a place, you mentioned, he gave him the resource. He gave him a blueprint of how to win a football game and take him to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I like that. I like that comparison. It is a great story, and Sunday is finally here. Steve, I know you've been in media for a very, very long time. I know that you can go ahead, and you know what I'm saying. You can echo the statement. The 2 weeks between the championship, the conference championship games, and the Super Bowl, it's a long time if you're in sports media.
Oh yeah, it's a buzz. It's a buzz kill, I think, to have the extra week there. I like the. I would like it if they, you know, when the NFL decided to go to the 17 game format. I would have been happy if you'd have just had the 1 week. Then you knock down the extra week between the games, because then you could eliminate the need for the Pro Bowl, which is the most useless activity ever constructed outside of, I don't know, like doing the laundry or something. I mean, that's the Pro Bowl is a disaster. So I wouldn't have minded not having the extra week there. But you do get the hype, and it's unfortunate also because I heard a story on the radio on the way home this morning where, oh well, you know, it's not the biggest buzz game because the Rams, they're not really from L.A. and Cincinnati doesn't have the fan base of a team like. Please stop that. Don't even tell me the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl stands. stands out among any other sporting event. It's an event of it in and of itself. It doesn't need two big name cities and two giant media conglomerate cities to be an important game. I don't remember anyone telling me that Tampa Bay and Kansas City were the two biggest media markets in America, and it still turned out to be a great football game. So I don't want to hear how, you know, because it's Cincinnati and the Rams, it's not a huge build up or it's not a huge marquee game. It's a great game. It's a fun game to watch. And even if you're a passive football fan, you've got a rooting interest on one of these teams. You've got a rooting interest in the game, even if you're watching that overhyped halftime show.
Steve Bordstein, he's the man. There's a reason why we bring him on here on Drive Time Sports. Fantastic as always. I'm with you. I care nothing about the halftime show, though do I rarely. I mean, honestly, it's not my thing. Steve, before I let you go, of course, you got to let us know where we can find more of your work.
You can follow me on Twitter at DTS Sports Team. Daily Times is the newspaper that I work for here in Farmington, New Mexico, covering a lot of local and regional sports in the area. DTS Sports Team, BORTSTEIN, is how you follow me on Twitter. You can check out our website at daily-times.com.
Steve, always a pleasure. Enjoy the game. We'll talk again real soon.
What's your prediction?
Oh, I'm going to take the Rams 27-13.
I'm with you. I double digits, Rams. I'm thinking 27-16, 30-17, something like that. Rams double digit winners. It should be a fun game.
Yeah, well, I can't believe I forgot to get your prediction before I let you go. Good call on that one.
I wasn't sure maybe we were doing predictions.
No, I don't want to jinx anything. But I'm going to go with the Rams 27-13. You're in the same boat.
Yeah, pretty much. I think double-digit win. I don't think it'll be a blowout early. I think it'll be a gradual pulling away. But I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun.
Thank you again for the time, my friend.
Anytime, my friend. Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.